Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
Fantastic, that's great. You can take your seats. Hello, everybody. Hey, it's my first time in here. Never been in this room before. It's quite lush, isn't it? Very lush. Been away on holidays. I was over in Lancashire speaking a couple of weeks ago. But it is good to be home in Liverpool. Good to be with all my beautiful people who are here today. Hey, have you got notebooks? If you've not got notebooks, you might use your phone to make notes. I want to encourage you to do that today. Because, you know, I believe that God loves to speak. And I believe that he loves to speak to you and that he's got something to say to you today. You'd imagine, right, if God spoke to you, that you wouldn't forget what he said, wouldn't you? You'd imagine, how could I forget if God had spoken to me? But sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit speaks in such a whisper that although it's intent and although you hear it, sometimes it's easy to forget what's been said. So the great thing about notebooks is you can look back later and go, oh my goodness, God was speaking to me today. So are you expecting to hear from God today? Great. Okay, I've got a story for you. A few years ago, David and I went to a concert. We went to a Coldplay gig. We went to hear them play. Anyone ever been to see Coldplay? One, two, wishing to. Never go. Anyone ever been to see a live band play? Everyone's seen your favourite band. Such a great experience. We went to the MEN in Manchester. It's massive in there. And we didn't tell the truth. We didn't have the best seats in the house. We're like in this venue and we're on the side and we're over here just before it bends. And so the stage was right over there and you could see them and the screens really helped. And we were enjoying the atmosphere. We were enjoying it was just such a great thing to be there. We were so excited. But like I said, our seats weren't that brilliant. And when we were there, along our alleyway in our section, it's a bit like a football stadium. It's all concrete. They started putting the red and white tape and like sealing us into our section. And I'm like watching nothing stopped, still watching the band, but thinking, oh no, there's been an accident. Oh no, they're going to be like, I don't know why someone fainting at the front, they'd need to bring them all the way down to the back and bring them up here. But you know, oh no, something's going on, but I'm just going to keep enjoying everything. It's a bit odd, but let them get on doing what they're doing. And then what happens, right? The song stops and Coldplay get off the stage. And they appear down our alleyway, right? And three rows, in the rows where the chairs are, chairs packed tight together, three rows in front of us, they begin to do this acoustic set. So they do three songs. I mean, they're almost in touching distance. The guy next to me is going, Chris, come for a curry. Chris, come for a curry. He wouldn't shut up. He did that. But they just, all of a sudden, it was so exciting. Ran through eye to eye contact with David and Chris Martin as he ran past like that. David resisted the urge to touch him because we're not into that. But so all of a sudden, the seats that were okay turned into the best seats in the whole place. We were suddenly just in the right place. And sometimes, isn't it like that in life? Sometimes some things are so unexpected, but you just find yourself in the right place. And it was an amazing moment. But I really believe that there are even more significant moments for us when we can find ourselves in the right place. I used to, back in the day when I left school, I worked in a senior school and I was a school receptionist. That was my job. So I was the person that all the kids handed their registers into. I was the one who sent the letters if your kid had had a day off. I'd probably be charging you now if your kid had a day off. But I wasn't the secretary. The secretary had a desk really close to me. She was a Christian, but unfortunately had a bit of a reputation of being a dragon. Have you ever met those kind of receptionists? No. I loved her dearly. I think she was vastly misunderstood personally. But maybe some of her behavior didn't help her now and again. But she was my mate, so I was in, so it was okay. And so I was working in this school, and the head teacher there is an amazing head teacher, one of the most ambitious heads you will ever meet. And he turned that inner city school around, made it an outstanding school. He's got an OBE now. He did such an incredible job, really dedicated to the role. And So I was like, I knew him and stuff. One week, one day, the Gideons had come. So I don't know if you know who the Gideons are. They hand out Bibles to everybody that lives and breathes. And they do school assemblies. So they come in and they present the Bible. And then they leave Bibles for all the children. And they'd done an assembly for the first years, for year seven. And there were all the Bibles, the little red Bibles, really helpful Bibles, because they tell you where to look and what to pray and how to find Jesus. And so those were the Bibles there. And the head teacher hadn't handed them out. So they were sort of under my desk, lots and lots of boxes and around boxes of Bibles. And I didn't think this was right. I want those Bibles in the hands of those children. And so one day, just out of the blue, totally unexpected, the dragon wasn't in her chair. It was just empty. And the head comes in quite purposeful. Lee, and he sits in his chair, and his attention is fully focused on me, which was a bit worrying, really. But he started to, like, he was just relaxed, and he obviously wanted to talk to me. And so he engages me in this conversation as to, because he knew I was a Christian, as to why we should give out the Bibles to the children. And we get into this conversation, and the longer the short of it is that I managed to convince him that the kids should have the Bibles. You see, there was a Muslim society, and that was getting stronger in the school, and so he's trying to, like, find the middle ground. But I convinced him that they should get the Bibles. So we negotiate that if the children come to me to get the Bible, they can have it, but they have to come and ask for the Bible. It won't just be handed out. And so I'm like, okay, let's do this. And so knowing all the stats for the school, I do a little survey on how many children actually come to get Bibles. And one of the cutest things, in lots of Muslim children, lots of different kinds of children, two little girls came to me and they're like, can we have a Bible? And they stuffed it in their little bags and they closed up the bag. And it was really important to them. They weren't just taking a Bible, they were coming to ask for one. I was able to report back to the head, 75% of the kids that were in school that day took a Bible. It was awesome. It was amazing. And I just felt that I was in the right place. Now, I hadn't prepared for that. It was totally unexpected. But, you know, sometimes you just need to be in the right place. And all you can do is make sure that you show up. Lots of things in life we prepare for. You know, we prepare for exams. We prepare for presentations. Things that we really have to put our all into. But other times, you know, God's got his hand on your life. And other times, all you have to do is make sure that you show up. Because you see, if you don't show up, something truly significant can't happen. But if you do, you could find yourself in the right place. You know, God prepares us for many things in life. A lot of life is about, and walking with God is about process, is about him changing us. But I truly believe that for every one of us, and for us as a church, he prepares significant moments for us. Moments that truly can change the course of history. Truly, moments. I believe, you know, some of you guys will have received prophecies over your life. God's, someone spoke into your life, somebody sound and good. So in the future, I can see you involved in this, or I can see you making this impact. You carry on with your walk with Jesus regardless, don't you? But with a sense that God has prepared things, moments that will change things in our lives. I think for the Apostle Peter. So Peter, do you know who Peter was? So Peter walked with Jesus. Jesus had this crowd of disciples, and he designated 12 as apostles, and Peter knew Jesus. He really knew Jesus. But I think the most significant moment, the most significant moment in the Apostle Peter's life was probably when he preached the gospel to the Gentiles. It was the most significant historical world-changing thing, I believe, that he did out of his whole relationship with God. I'm going to tell you a little bit about how that happened. So basically, you could have, when Jesus was around, you could have been excused for thinking that he was only interested in Jewish people. Jewish this, Jewish that. He was Jewish. Everything was Jewish. In fact, when somebody who wasn't Jewish came near and asked for a miracle, he kind of wasn't even seemingly willing to help them. So you'd think that maybe he favored the Jews and he wasn't really interested in anyone who wasn't a Jew. A Gentile is basically the name that we use for anyone who isn't a Jew. And so Peter had walked with Jesus. He'd known this favor with Jews. And but this happens one day. We read it in the book of Acts, chapter 10. So Jesus had died. He'd rose again. He'd gone up to heaven. And one day Peter's at home or wherever he was, and he decides to go up on the roof to pray. So it's not roofs like our roofs. That would be very dangerous. Don't recommend that for you or your children. It was a flat roof. And he went up to pray. And it says it's about lunchtime. It's about noon. And he gets hungry. And food's being prepared for him to eat. And then while that's happening, I think he must be really, really hungry, because all of a sudden he has a vision. He has this vision. He's not expecting a vision, but he has a vision. In this vision, you've got to imagine it. There's like a large sheet. And it's being let down to earth by the four corners. And inside the sheet, there's all kinds of animals. There's like, you know, four-footed, it says, what does it say? Four-footed animals. So none of you two-footed animals. Or you three-footed animals, for that fact. Are you there? Four-footed animals. And reptiles. And birds of many kinds. And then he hears this voice. So this vision that he doesn't understand. And then he hears this voice say, get up, Peter, kill and eat. And he's like, no way. No way. You see, Jews were forbidden from eating any of these animals that he was seeing. If they ate them, he'd been considered unclean. They were considered unclean. He'd have to be separated from the community. So he's like, no way. That's not what I'm going to do. And but it happens three times, and he hears this voice saying, do not call unclean anything that God has made clean. And he's starting to understand God's now calling these clean. He's now saying these are acceptable, but my culture, my history, everything I've known, everything I've been previously told is these are not acceptable. What's going on? And it says Peter's wondering about this. He's like, oh no, this is like doing my head in. What is all this about? I must be really hungry. Where's my pot noodle? He's just thinking all those things, perhaps, it's a bit of license. But he's thinking about it. And while that happens, these guys turn up, right, looking for Peter. And they'd come from a Roman's house, from Cornelius's house. Cornelius was not a Jew, but what had happened is that he had his own encounter with God. An angel had appeared. He'd said, Cornelius, I've heard your prayers. I've seen your righteous acts. Now you need to go fetch Peter. Get Peter over here, and he's going to explain to you everything you need to know. So just go get Peter. So these guys have gone from Cornelius, and they've gone to Peter's house, and they were told where it was and how to get there, and they got there. And when they get there, Peter's still thinking about this vision. He's still trying to work it out. But the Spirit of God says, when these guys come, just don't hesitate. Go with them. So he goes, basically finds Cornelius, a room full of non-Jews, and he thinks, I'm not to call these unacceptable anymore. I've got to tell them the good news of Jesus. He tells them about Jesus, how they can be saved by faith through grace, and they get saved. And we're going to look at it, Acts chapter 10. Verse 44, I'll read it. It says, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. For they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Something was changing in history. What a significant moment. How incredible was that moment? And Peter prepared for that. You know what I find amazing is that Peter was just in the right place. But for Peter, you see, it was a day. For Peter, it was a moment. But for God, it was part of, he'd been working in the background of history for years and years, for years and years. For Peter, what was a moment was for God, a well-devised plan. It was his well-devised plan. He'd been working it out. He'd been working it out. Peter was in the right place at the right time. I love Paul's revelation of how God works in our lives, how God has a well-devised plan for every single one of our lives. We read it in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10. It says, we're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Each one of us. Good works prepared in advance for us to do. A well-devised plan. Things for us to walk into. Significant moments that God has prepared us for. So I'm going to talk some points today on how we can make sure we don't miss God's well-devised plan. Is that all right? Should I go home now? Should I stay now? I stay. Here we go then. How to ensure we don't miss God's well-devised plan. You see, God had always designed it that the Gentiles should get saved. If you knew the earlier books of the Bible, it was always the plan that salvation would be for everyone. But I believe Peter didn't miss his well-devised plan because, you see, he had already previously handed himself in. He'd handed himself in. He'd shown up to God. Paul writes this to the Romans. Romans 12, verse 1. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living, holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Paul's saying to the Christians at Rome, he's saying, if you want to discover God's well-devised plan, if you want to know the will of God for your life, the first thing that we have to do is hand ourselves in. It says here, in another version, it says, present our bodies as living sacrifices. Paul's saying, give yourself to God. You know, no one else can hand you in. Some people try to hand you in, don't they, sometimes? You know, some people try to bring you to know Jesus. Yes, there you go. Go and get to know. But truth is, no one else can hand you in. Only you can make that decision. Because saying, when you're handed in, then you discover what his well-devised plan is. You know, when you give yourself to God, it's not like you give a bit of time, is it? He's saying, present your bodies. He's saying, present your whole self. He's saying, give all that you are. He's not talking about just one aspect of your life. He's talking about every aspect of your life. He's not saying, bring a bit of you to God, but leave all that behind. He's saying, everything that makes you who you are, everything that's part of your world, everything that's part of your life, don't leave a knapsack, you know, in the back. Present yourself to God. You know what? Peter had handed himself into God. He said, I'm yours. Come on, lead my life. And you see by the way that he lived, by the things that he did, that his life was, come on, Jesus, where are we going? What are we doing? Here I am. Here is all that I have. Let's go your way. And Paul's saying, you know, if you want to know the will of God, you can't skip that bit. That bit can't be skipped. I think we all want to know the will of God for our lives. We all want to know, has God made a plan for me? Hey, let's find out what it is. So it's the first thing, hand ourselves in. He says, you know, when we do that, that's true worship. That's what he calls true worship. I love our times of praise. I love our times of worshiping God in song here. I love the presence of God. I love to draw near to God. But I'm not filled in my head that is any, what's the word that begins with S? Substitutes. Great, please song as well. Is it the please? Anyway, though, so it's the who. Thanks. It's not a substitute, is it? It's not a substitute. I'm not convinced that doing that, no matter how heartfelt and genuine and important, it's no substitute for going, God, here's my life. That is the only thing that is true worship. We're maybe mirroring it or entering to a section of it, but it's not true worship until we hand ourselves in completely to God. It says when you do that, that's when you get transformed. That's when you start to change. Because you see, when you're handing yourself into God, you can't actually hand yourself into something else at the same time. When your focus and attention is God, this is my life, then you find it very hard to get distracted and run around after other things, apart from the things that God leads you to and are good for our lives. When we hand ourselves in, we can't be in two places at once. And what I love is that God does this transforming work as we hand ourselves in, and then we begin to discover his well-devised plan, his good and perfect will. What I find really interesting, Paul isn't writing this to unbelievers. He's writing this to Christians. He's saying, I urge you to hand yourself into God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice. I urge you, church, because then you'll discover God's will. You see, not every Christian does. I remember when I was training for leadership and all of that, and I'd go down to different churches, and I'd go home, and I'd go, why are they not all on fire for Jesus? I don't understand it. Oh, my goodness. I'd be really, you know, when you're young and you're like, I haven't got much wisdom about you either, and you just say what you see and you don't know all the details. But I could tell passion and I could tell half passion. And I couldn't get it. I couldn't get it. Why would you become a Christian and not just be, hey, here I am, God, what are we going to do? It doesn't mean we don't mess up and make mistakes, but the bottom middle part of our heart is like, here I am, God. Lead my life now. I find it really hard to get, but you find that that's the case, and people are often on a journey. I've toned that shock down a bit, but still Paul is urging every Christian, anyone who will, he's saying, come on. You see, God wants you to know his will. He's eager. He's ready. He's standing at the door. He wants to show you his plan. He's not playing hide and seek with you. It's not difficult to find the will of God. I'm giving you some keys today on how you can find it more and more. He'll show you his general will, what's good for living, what's good for life, but he has specifics for you. He has specifics for your career. He has specifics for your calling. He has specifics for your family. He knows all about your life. And there's things he wants to show you that are specific to you as well as general. I used to get really worked up about wanting to know the will of God for my life. There'll be some of you like me in the room, mostly women probably, really worked up. I need to know the will of God. What if I miss the will of God? Oh my goodness, what is the will of God? Should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? I remember I didn't wear makeup. I didn't used to. Well, I did wear makeup, right, when I became a Christian, about age 19, and like lovely AOG church. I'm like, should I wear makeup? Don't know. I bet some of you are still struggling with that. I don't know. The non-makeup people in the room. Yeah, men, no. Right, so I'd look at the pastor's wife, and the pastor's wife wore makeup. It must be the will of God to wear makeup. That's how I learned stuff. And she wore more makeup than me. But I really want, are you ever like that? Sometimes you're in a situation, you just go, gosh, what should I do? What in this situation, what is your plan? You know, sometimes big decisions we have to make in life. God, would you just come? And Dave would get fed up with me doing this. I wish Jesus would just sit on the end of my bed and tell me what I'm going to be doing, because I want to do it. Lots of us are like that. I want, will you just make it easy? Sit on the bed, tell me, and I'll do it. Like, that's all right. That's all right. Hopefully I'll do it, but I want to do it. And just show me. And I'd get so wound up about this. But you know what? Over a process of time, you realize how God works, that he does show you his will. I love how he shapes my life. I love how he takes me from place to place. I love how he keeps me places. I love how as I know him, I'm like, you are shaping my life. As I'm presenting myself to you, you are putting me in the right places at the right time. I believe his promise that says, God, you know, if your heart's after him, God will fulfill his purpose for you. It's a promise in scripture. He will fulfill his purpose for you. He's prepared works for you in advance to walk into. I believe those things. And when I believe those things, it helps me to relax. It helps David to have a much happier time in the house. Everything's a bit more chilled because I'm trusting God's plan. I'm trusting God's plan for my life. You know, he wants us to discover his well-devised plan. It comes after we present ourselves. After we give ourselves in, he will bring real clarity for your life. Real clarity. You know, if we want to find this well-devised plan, there's a second thing that Peter did. You know, he showed up in the harvest field. He didn't stay at home. When the Gentiles came, when they came to get him, he didn't say, bring them round here. God didn't say, tell them all to go to his house. He had to go, and he had to go to their house. Jesus said this. We've heard this recently, but John chapter 4, verse 35, it says, do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And I was reading this bit that says, don't say that there's still 4 months till harvest. I read this, that it was probably a proverb signifying that there's no need to rush into performing a task. It's a bit like, mañana, I'll do it tomorrow. You know, yeah, I'm into that, but you know, it doesn't have to happen today. But Jesus is saying, don't say that. Don't say that there's no sense of urgency. Don't be so complacent that you miss opportunities. Show up in the harvest field. You know, sometimes it's just a case of showing up. Like for me with that head teacher, I was just where I was meant to be that day. But I was there expectant. You know, you can't make anything happen, but you can be in the harvest field ready. I love that you can be in the right place, that at least we have to turn up. You know, Cornelius, he was ripe for salvation. He was ready. His family, his friends, they were ready. God had been working in their lives. If Peter hadn't been there, would have they been brought through? It's like checking fruit, isn't it? Well, I love J. John talks about if you go in the orchard, if you walk through an orchard, you're just in the right place. And if you can check apples, you know, you twist them, don't you? And if they fall off easily, they're ready, they're ripe. Some others aren't ripe, but you're never going to catch them unless you're in the right place at the right time. There has to be an expectancy and a willingness to turn up. I turn my telly on. Oh, yes, I watch telly. That was a big thing at the beginning as well. But I turned my telly on a couple of weeks ago, and it was Glastonbury. And Dolly Parton, God bless her. Who knows Dolly Parton? Say yee-haw if you know Dolly. So Dolly Parton was coming to the end of her set. And she, at the end of her set, just as I turned on, she started to talk about church. And she started to talk about God. And the organ music came on. And she gave a little, basically, she was trying to talk about God and good. And she was getting all the crowd to respond by saying, if you believe that, say amen. And thousands of people, the biggest crowd at Glastonbury, all there to watch Dolly. All go, echoing back, amen, amen. And she's talking about God. And she's doing it the way she can. She's using that moment. And then she brings this song, Lay Your Hands on Me by Bon Jovi, and she brings the guitarist in, and they've changed the song to make it into a gospel song talking about Jesus and salvation, and they're all singing it, and they're all getting into it, and there she is. But for Dolly, you know, she's just turning up for work. That's Dolly's thing. That's Dolly's day job. I don't know what your day job is. Dolly's day job is turning up on a stage every now and again, singing to thousands of people. But you see, she was doing her thing. She was doing her job. But when her moment came, she was ready to seize your moment. When you're doing your thing, when you're doing your job, when you're in your everyday place, be doing your thing and seize your moment. Because there are moments prepared. That moment prepared for Dolly. Moments prepared for you that are significant. God's so good. You know, I love to think this. Sometimes we're also think about one day. One day I'll have this opportunity. One day I'll lead my friend to Jesus. One day this might happen. One day that might happen. But you know what? I've thought about it, and I think sometimes today could be our one day. And the only difference is that we turn up, and we turn up expectant. We turn up handed in. And what I love, right, Peter turned up. He turned up in that house that day. And because he turned up, because he was eager to do the will of God, and he managed to hear God, and he followed what God said, because he turned up, the Holy Spirit was poured out. You see, Peter couldn't do that. Only God could do that. Only God could do that. But you know, if you turn up and do your thing, then God can turn up and do his thing. He can do his thing. He changed the course of history forever that day. And I'd say to you, please turn up, because it allows God to do his God thing through you. The final thing is to keep showing up. I don't know about you, but for Peter, for example, do you remember when he was first called? When Peter, I'll just do a little time check. Oh my goodness. Right, here we go. When Peter was first called, Jesus turns up and he says, will you follow me? And Peter goes, yeah, I'll follow you. And he leaves his nets and he leaves everything behind and he follows Jesus. Quite exciting times. And I think for everyone in this room that's already begun a journey with God, probably had that moment, will you follow me? And you're like, yeah. And there was some leaving behind of nets and you started to get to know Jesus and you became saved and you started to follow him. But you see, it's not long that you're a Christian before you realize that showing up once is never going to be enough to actually discover the will of God for your life. We have to continue to show up. If we fast forward for Peter, so Jesus has been teaching the crowd and he's been speaking to the disciples. And he says this to the disciples. He's teaching something that is difficult to understand and the disciples get offended because he's deliberately not making it clear. And they don't, if you hear what he was saying, from first reading, you think, that is pretty weird, Jesus. But later, it makes sense. But at that point, it was weird. And John chapter 6, verse 66, it says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Right at that moment, I believe Peter is presenting himself all over again. All over again. He's going, I've got a chance to jump off here. And I'm not talking about stopping being a Christian, but I've got a chance not to be quite so devoted, not to be quite so, here's all of me, because I'm not understanding you right now, God, but here's all of me still. And you know, those times happen for every one of us when tough times come along, when there's less miracles going on and more character change in our lives, more discipleship in our change, when seasons are doing their work in our lives, there can be times where we're like, I'm going to have to decide all over again. Am I holy, holy in? I remember when my husband had had a life-threatening illness just before we met, and he wasn't meant to live, and there was a whole miraculous story around that. And then about 10 years later, he was well, he was healed, he was signed off the consultant. 10 years later, some of the same symptoms appeared to reoccur. I'm like, God, this is our miracle testimony. God, what are you doing mucking about with this, God? This is the book, Lord. But you know, praise God, it turned out that those symptoms were not anything like the illness that he hasn't got anymore, that he was healed from. But in the process of that time, when I didn't understand everything, I had to represent myself to God. And that takes time sometimes. When you don't understand things, Peter changed immensely. If you fast forward right to the end of his time while Jesus was still on earth, when he has this encounter with Jesus and Jesus is saying to Peter, will you feed my sheep, Peter? And he asked him three times, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And Peter's a very different man by that time. And Peter's like, I'm going to follow you. I love you. I'm going to follow you. And Peter's presenting himself again wholeheartedly to do the will of God, because Jesus was going back to heaven then. God had a plan and a purpose for him, but it all could only come about if Peter would represent himself. You know, the seasons in your life, they change you. Peter was a different man. He knew God better. He knew grace better. He knew himself better. He relied on himself less than he had, and he relied on God more than he had. He responded with a fuller knowledge of who God was. Well done, every one of you who keeps representing yourself. You know God better. You represent yourself with a fuller knowledge of God every time you give yourself wholeheartedly. You know what you're giving. You know what you're doing. Well done, every one of you who does that. The seasons in your life are preparing you for significant moments, but I encourage you, keep presenting yourself. You've already heard of Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, an inventor, American. He's the co-founder of Apple. If you've got an iPhone, iPad, hugely successful. At age 13, he picked up a copy of Life magazine. And in that magazine, he saw on the front, there was a picture of two children in war-torn Nigeria. And a million people in that nation had died through civil war, through famine. And he looked at this and he took it to his pastor. He couldn't understand how a good God could let anybody suffer. And that day, you know, there's no trite answers, are there? We could talk about that. There's no trite answers for things like that. We can talk about, do you take the view, you look at it and you think, well, maybe God is unloving, or do you take the view, say, like a Mother Teresa who looks at the situation and goes, God's here to use me to change things. There's so many things we can talk about. But my thing right now is to say that day he left church. Age 13, because he didn't understand, he left church. We can miss things when we only focus on the things that we don't understand. We miss things when those things become the main issue. Peter didn't understand what was going on when he saw that vision. He could have missed his moment. He was spending so much time thinking about, what is this? No, Lord, this isn't you. So much time thinking about it. You know, he had to be fetched. People had to go and get him. Sometimes in the will of God, you feel that you have to be fetched. It's quite normal. But the Spirit of God says, don't hesitate, go. Paul had to say to one church, stop doing your endless genealogy. Stop that they were like tracing back their family trees and it become an obsession with them. And in focusing on issues or things sometimes we don't understand or issues that divert us, we actually can miss the main thing. And Jesus is saying, come back to the main thing. Jesus used this to illustrate a point. He says in Matthew, it's recorded, 21, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and he said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and he went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he didn't go. Which of the two did what the father wanted? Maybe you feel like the second son. You intended to fully show up. You intended to, but for some reason or other, maybe you showed up in body, but the whole of you didn't turn up. But your intention was there. Maybe you feel like that today. Maybe it's because you misunderstood your season. Maybe you got distracted by something or by someone. Maybe it's just something you didn't understand. But the Spirit of God wants to reveal things. The Spirit of God wants to show you the will of God today. Many of us, he's showing us all the time. But there are significant moments that he's preparing each one of us. But before he reveals the will of God, we have to present ourselves. I want to respond to this message. I'd ask that everybody stand right now as we draw to a close. When we focus on an issue, when we focus on something that we don't understand, it's like we can keep things at a distance. And for some of us, there's things that God wants us to embrace. But for whatever reason, we hold them at a distance. And we like maybe look at it and we consider it, but we don't commit to it completely. Because we haven't quite embraced it, because we have this reason or this thing that stops us. But God's saying today, you can embrace that. Embrace that. There's some issues to lay aside. There's some misunderstandings to put aside. But he wants you to embrace him. He wants you to embrace the purpose that he's been showing you for your life. The thing you know he's been leading you into. The thing you know he's calling you to. He doesn't want you to view it at a distance. He wants you to embrace it. When you embrace someone, it's like you hug them. When you embrace a baby, it's like you bring it really close. Some things God wants you to bring really close today. And it's not too late. You know that first son said, no, I'm not coming. And then he said, he turned up anyway. God's good, we've still got time. Hey, if you want to present yourself to God for the first time, or just present yourself afresh today, will you lift your hands and I'm going to pray for you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody presenting themselves before God, everybody today saying, here I am, God, wholeheartedly. Here's my act of worship to you. I lift my hand to you. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, amazing King. I'm going to pray for each one of us. Father, I thank you. We stand before you right now. I thank you, Father, We present our lives to you right now. I thank you you're not playing hide and seek with our futures. I thank you have significant moments for us that are going to impact our world, God. I thank you have prepared works for every single one of us in this room. For us as a church, you have prepared things ahead of time, that you've been working in the background of history so that we seize our moment when it comes along. Today, we present ourselves expectant, God, knowing that your hand is upon our lives, knowing that you fulfill your purpose with us. Today, we give ourselves to you wholeheartedly, knowing that you're going to do what only you can do, and all we can do is turn up, is to show up. Lord, we give honor to you right now. We thank you. Let's give God a massive round of applause, God.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you, or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.